Hello, welcome back to Boxing Conversations. I really hope you're enjoying these shorter form interviews. I'm really enjoying the challenge of trying to get as much out of the guests as possible in less time. This time I am joined by Josh Kelly, someone I've known for quite a while, and it was really good to speak to Josh ahead of his fight on Channel 5 this weekend. Josh is promoted by Wasserman, trained by Adam Booth, who was the first member in the Boxing Life Stories Club, as you might recall, back in about 2018. Let me know what you think of these shorter form interviews. By all means, give me some feedback via Instagram or Tristix or Twitter, where you can get me at Tris Dixon, and leave a rating and a review where possible. But now here's Josh Kelly.
So, Josh, I saw on a social media story that you want all the smoke at 154 now, right? You want all the big guns.
I want all of it. I think I'm mature enough now, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. I feel like a few years back when I was getting all the hype, not a few years back, but when I was back fighting at 147, I was stuck between weights and I was sort of battling with a lot of mental things and I was not really mature. I look back at my fights, I look like, you're a kid. You're a real kid. You know what I mean? And now I feel like I'm a man and I took a lot of stuff on and I'm mature now mentally, like I said, emotionally. I feel like I'm in the perfect place. Give me everything now. I want all the big ones.
How have you developed mentally and emotionally? Is it just a time thing and a sort of growing up thing, or is it things that you've actively done to make yourself a more complete human being and fighter?
I've been actively doing stuff. Obviously brought some people into the team to do with the mind stuff and that. And just then worked on more myself, emotionally learning about myself and just about life really in general. Like life tossed me some curveballs recently, so I've had to deal with them, and the way I've dealt with them and the way I've dealt with things in the past when I was fighting was unlike anything what I would have dealt with them like before. So I feel like I'm on a real path to becoming the person and having the life I want to have. So I can't wait, mate. And feel like, yeah, it's been a lot of big lessons learned. So it's been good.
Who have been like the most important people who have helped you? Like a couple of people who have helped you, whether it's emotionally or with that development, and how?
Yeah. I mean, Adam's always been close. Got a Stephen Green, guy I work with. Obviously, my dad, my close friends, they're like family, really. They know who they are, but them are the main people really who's kept me on. And just going through all these experiences outside, because the cracks outside of life always end up affecting boxing more than boxing itself. Because boxing itself it's not an easy thing, but it's a simple thing. You get up, you work hard, you put your work in, you eat right, you clean, you do everything properly, and if you've got the talent, if you get things right on the night, you win, or you're not. Do you know what I mean? That's a simple formula. But things outside of boxing, the things what end up, if you let them spill over into your boxing life, that's what ends up making the cracks, and that's when you can fall down. That's where a lot of boxers fall, because of outside things, not because of inside boxing. So I've learned to deal with all them, navigate around them cracks and them little potholes, and I'm through. So I feel like I'm in perfect place.
How important has it been sticking with Adam through everything in terms of where you're at now? Because, you know, you've had a couple of roadblocks, obviously, you know, just to name a couple, obviously Ray Robinson and Avanesian, for example. Some fighters would have been like, oh yeah, this isn't working. And plus, like, it's easier for you, I guess, to be up near home or up north, whatever, or it could have been. So I guess there's been opportunities or times where you're like, okay, let's change it up. Because plenty of fighters do that, right? And they don't stay with the same trainer through the hardships. How much has it made you what you are now, sticking with Adam all the way through?
It's been good, mate, because Ray Robinson was a bit of a weird one. It was like he stepped up. He just beat Kavalauskas. He just got a majority draw against Kavalauskas, which then went on to give Crawford one of his hardest nights. And that was my 10th fight, right? It was early on, big show, Madison Square Gardens. I had a before I went over there, I had a broken hand from my last fight previous 6 weeks before. I'm fighting a southpaw, so I've had to take some time off of that, get injections. I didn't want to not take the fight, so ended up taking and done that. And I felt as though I won by about 2 rounds, but obviously it weren't my best performance towards the end. But I learned a lot from that. And Adam is like, listen, when you boxed him in the way you're moving, especially at the start of the fight, I knew you already had what you needed then, but you just needed the emotional maturity and stuff. And I think I was starting to struggle with the weight a little bit then as well. The weight was starting to become a big issue, sort of thing. I was doing like 5 and each in like 12, 13, maybe even touching 14 pounds the day off the weigh-in. So it was starting to become really tough. So sticking with Adam throughout all that, he's got to know me better and I've got to know him better, and we've become, it's like family, he's become really close. And when you start to really trust someone who you're going into war with, then that's the best place you can be. That's the best person you can have in your corner. I don't want someone who's just coming on for, ah, he's a good fighter, a quick payday, I'm gonna get in and be his coach and try and get a live a little bit off that. I want someone who's there through the ups and the downs and just stick by us, because I'm doing the same with him and learn a lot about each other. He's closer than a course to me, it's their family, so
Is golf an important part of your life in terms of being able to switch off from the noise?
golf, yeah. Massively, I've got a tee time at 2:50. I'm going. I'm trying to bash through these things, but yeah, it is, bro. Because here it gets a load of steps in. You do loads of walking outside, and if I'm not doing that, what am I doing? I'm sat on the settee, or I'm eating my food and just watching TV or on my phone, and I'm not burning any calories. So you're burning a whole lot of calories out there walking. Plus, you just switch off, you're just hitting the ball, you're talking with your friends or Adam or anyone like that, and it's just like it's a good game more. I suggest to anyone to take it up, because it just helps your mind. You're only thinking about, it's like you're taking a free kick or a penalty every time you're taking a shot at golf, because on the golf course, because it's stationary until you hit it. So you need to be in that, you can't be thinking about anything else, you need to be thinking about this. And that just takes your mind away from everything. It's like boxing when you, not like boxing, but when I'm boxing, I'm in the ring, I just forget about everything. I'm just boxing. Do you know what I mean? When punches are coming, I'm just like moving and slipping and moving. If I have anything in my mind where I'm stressed or anything, or I have anything outside while I've come into the gym, I'm stressed, I always say, Adam, can I spar? Can I spar? And he's like, why? And I'm like, when I'm in the ring, I stop thinking. And it just helps us just, I just move. It's like medicine, do you know what I mean? So it just helps us.
Are you good at golf?
Yeah, I'm all right. I got myself down to 7 a couple of years ago, but now I'm off I'll put you off a nine handicap now. So not that bad.
Hey, let me ask you this. You post some pretty cool stuff on social media with footwork and punches
Yeah.
and some cool stuff. How much of that stuff is crossover into what's actually useful in the ring, or is it just for the gram?
No, some stuff I'm just flowing and working, and then someone just gets a camera and say, oh, a video of that, and then they send it and they're like, oh, you should put that on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, I might do, I'm mature, and they're like, yeah, go on. I'm like introvert like that. I'll come out alive by myself when I'm in the ring, but then capturing the moments at other people's things sometimes, do you know what I mean? And I become lively when I'm in the ring and stuff, but outside the ring I'm more of a introverted person. But yeah, to be fair, some of the things I do use, some of the things I'm just flowing and just imagining things in my head, just making things up and just like thinking, right, what would he feel like if he was doing this, or what would that boxer feel like, and like the greats, and some things, yeah, I would use it in the ring if I got the chance to, anyways.
Hey, as a collective, how do you think your crop of Olympians have done when you look at Joe Joyce, Boazzi, Okoli, Pat McCormack, Joe Cordina, Galao, and yourself? Like, would you say it's been a really successful crop, or would you say you expected more from them, or yeah, successful, or would you have expected more at the start?
I think it's been pretty good, you know. If you think about where they've got to, where they are, where the names are and stuff, it's been decent. It's been decent, really. Don't get many of them really at the top level or governing ranked in the governing bodies. And I mean, it's been, I haven't really thought about that much, you know, just because sort of like when I turned pro, I sort of just thought to myself that solo operation, do you know what I mean? I weren't thinking about part of the Olympics, nothing. I was like, right, this is my plan now. I'm a part of my team for me. So that's what I wish. I never really had the time to think. What an interesting question. I have to go back and look at other Olympians and other Olympic cycles and how their accolades were compared to ours and stuff like that. So,
Have you stayed in touch with any of the lads, like on a semi-regular basis?
no, not, not really. When I bump into them, I say hello and stuff and whatever, and sometimes occasional messages here and there, but nothing like all the time. I think once you branch off into your pro setup, you sort of get into that and sort of find your friends there and different things like that. So, as a profession, I've learned out a lot of people who is loyal and who's not, and who's just there for a good time and who's not. You learn a lot about yourself and a lot about people, so it's good.
Is it the case, by the way, that you've learned more from, and I know what you said about Ray Robinson, but you've learned more from Ray Robinson and Avanesian than you have your other fights? You know, people say that when you get those blemishes on your record, that those are the ones that you really learn from about yourself and about the sport. Is that true?
100%. Like, without, see, if I went and won that Avanesian fight, I would have still been boxing at 147, still would have been killing myself trying to get there. Not now, obviously, I would probably would have moved up, but still killing myself to get to the weight a couple of fights after, still dealing with all the mental issues I was going through. So I would have just kept hiding and hiding. I would have come out sooner or later, and it would have been another loss or someone else's name, or it would have been Joe Bloggs beat you. So what do you think about that? So it was the right time to have that little hiccup, and it was the right time to go away and find myself and come back. And I think anyone who looks at that fight and says, I want to do what that guy did, it's just, yeah, he's looking at like ghost of what I am now. I'm fueled up, I'm a lot bigger, I'm a lot more experienced, I punch a lot harder, I'm can tie you up and hurt you, I can move you inside if I want to. And looking at that, their downfall, it's just like I've just sort of scrubbed that off my record of my mind. It's not the things I was going through that week, like I don't even think anyone would have got in the ring, but I did, and it what happened that one. So and can't take anything away from it.
You have obviously sort of talked about your anxieties and the things that you were thinking about in the past. When you think of yourself now and that pre-fight stuff and how you were back then, is it like, are you that far removed from it? It's almost like looking at a different person, like where you're like, I can't believe I was like that.
Yeah, really weird. Even when we kids, I'd start like getting, so starting to become like a really like a hypochondriac. I was starting to become like, I was washing my kids' hands all the time, and I was like always trying to keep things clean and couldn't have this, and oh, I gotta do this, and now I'm just like totally opposite. Just like, okay, because I just learned to not, a lot of it's just learning not to give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like not really caring about too many opinions, not really caring about anyone's opinion. And just like you're here for maybe, hopefully, God willing, 70, 80, 90, maybe if you're lucky, 100 years, right? And then you're gone. And then everything's forgotten. And then even if you were a legend or you were a big star or you were the best at this sport, you're not going to remember because you're going to be dead. So it's like, yeah, it was lovely at the time, but we're going to be dead. So it's like, who remembers, like, when the fight happens, people talk about it for maybe a week, maybe max, and then it's gone, it's forgotten about, moving on to the next one. So it's like people are fickle, so you just gotta just, like, and that's what I think. Like, I'm not bothered anymore. If I got sick tomorrow and I pull out of this fight, I'd go, I don't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? It's my health's more important than like, I'm just, obviously, that's never gonna happen, but I'm just in that mindset where now it's like, I'm not bothered. I just got going there, do me train as hard as I can because I love training hard, sparring hard, eat the best I can, which I'm doing, and I'm eating clean and feeling like the best shape I've been in, and just go on and enjoy it. The result will take care of itself. What will be, what what's going to be is going to be.
Who is your oh but what do you know about your opponent, by the way?
He's decently strong. He's only lost one. He's back down at welterweight. He looks big, looks strong. So he's going to come to try and win and try to really put a fight on. So with well, these unknown quantities are the hardest ones because you're never really going to get the credit for beating them. So it's like one of them where you're just sort of stuck. So you've got to be really focused for these ones. And I just go, actually focus probably just a little bit more. That they get his little statistics out where I'm like, yeah, all right. This guy thinks he's gonna come and do this. It's his world title fight, so yeah, all right, no problem. I'm gonna get my mind right. So I'm gonna put him up there like he's fucking Golovkin or someone, and I'm training for that guy. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm watching him and seeing everything. I'm like, all right, I've got you. So don't worry.
Did you know him before you were matched with him?
No,
No.
I didn't know. I thought he was a, when they mentioned his name, I thought he was a, like a porn star of some sort.
So funny enough, this sort of segues into the next question. So who is your dream
Yeah.
opponent? Who, if you could fight anyone, who would you match yourself with?
Well, porn star. No,
Exactly.
if dream opponent right now
Yeah.
or all time
No, now, right now, out from the
now.
active guys.
Oh, Ben or a Eubank or someone like that. Oh, sorry, Chase. Because, just big fights, man. Just ones will get people talking, ones will get people excited, ones where you get excited. You're like, wait, I'm like, can't wait to fight, man.
Who's the harder fight for you out of those two, out of Eubank and Ben?
I probably sleep with Ben, you know. Yeah. I think Eubank's come to the end of his performances. I don't think he's got much left, especially at that weight, draining himself. So I think at the moment, Ben probably's got a lot more life in him.
I did speak to someone a couple of months ago. They were sort of interested in matching you with Denzel Bentley. Did anything nearly come of that? And did you hear about that, or was that on the radar at all? Because I think you were high up in the WBO
I
at
heard about it.
154, and he was at 160, right?
Yeah, I heard about it, but nothing really got made. Obviously, I would go to 160. I've been there last fight. Obviously, it wasn't a legit 160 fight, but I can go to 160 and perform. The guys are going to be a big. The guys are going to be bigger and stronger, but I can definitely go there and get some surprising wins.
So, and then just
Enough.
let me shoot some names at you. What do you make of Virgil Ortiz?
Yeah. Killer.
What about Fandora?
Yeah. Tall, awkward, readable. I feel like he's readable, but he's a freak as well.
Tim Zhu?
Yeah, strong, very good at the basics, too brave sometimes. But he's beatable, but he's good, solid.
Keith Thurman.
I think he's past it. Keith Thurman is athletic, but in the past, but past it now. I think Keith Thurman's past it.
What about Bakram Murtazaliyev?
Perfect fight for me.
Okay, interesting. So, out of the ones that you said, obviously Virgil Ortiz, did you say killer? Is that right?
Yeah.
So do you rank him as the best out there at the minute?
Yeah. The way he was able to put hands on Madimov was good. He's just got them fast, spiteful hands, and he's got a high. Actually, comes to fight and he can punch. So you're gonna have to be on your game to fight him. And on my game, he'd have to be trying to find me in six or seven corners of that ring. He'd have to try his best to try and catch me. And I'd be counting them as much as I can. So,
Is that the sort of fight you want, like the best of the best? Is that what you really crave? I know you said about Eubank and Ben, massive fights in this country, but like to go and fight an Ortiz, whether it would be in Riyadh or Vegas? Is that the absolute pinnacle for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you, as a kid, that's what you dream about, don't you? Dream about fighting these big fights, being involved in the big fights, and testing yourself as an athlete. You always want to test yourself against the best. You know what I mean? End of the day, it's about making money, but at the same time, it's like internally, you want to say, yeah, testing myself against the best. I won. I tested them against self the against the best, and I just come up short. It could be one of them. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, I fought them. But I went there and did it. So, and I believe on my night when I'm in that ring and I'm on form, I'm a fucking hard person to beat.
So, in terms of where you're at now, are you satisfied with what you've done and what you've accomplished in boxing? Because you've achieved
No.
a lot already, right?
Yeah, but no, I'm not. No, I'm not satisfied yet. There's a lot more to achieve. And I feel like I'm still young in the sport. I haven't took a lot of miles on the clock. I haven't took a lot of hard fights. I'm still athletic. I'm still firing on all cylinders. I'm actually think I'm coming into my athletic prime now, 30, 31, 32. And I think these few years will be the best version of myself. But them years don't last for long. So you need to get the big fights in. So that's why I'm trying to capitalize on it now.
Well, that's kind of like one of my final questions, really, is does it freak you out that you trade on speed and reflexes, and people say that those are the ones that go like that? Are you freaked out about that time coming? Like, it's great you feel good now, but are you thinking like, shit, I've got the window is small for my skill set?
Yeah, I mean, you feel it. I know I'm not one of them where I'm like delusional. I'm going to fight here, and you can't beat me. I'm not old. Da, 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 da. I'll feel it in the gym, and I'll say when it goes, I'll be like, right, now, listen, like, I don't know if I've got to either change my style totally or I'm gonna have to really rethink this boxing stuff because I'm not there to get fucking hit. But I still believe I've got till 33, 34, and then I think, okay, then that might start to dip. But because I was a late maturer, anyways, I've always said I didn't get hairs on my arms till I was like 17, so I was a late maturer, and I'm fairly sure I haven't ran the clock out on any ends of like outside of boxing, in boxing, so I've got a lot of years left if I want them, anyways.
And just on your last fight, it was obviously a big stage, although not as big as perhaps it might have been had Liam Smith
Yeah.
been in the other corner. But were you happy with what you showed that night? I mean, I only refreshed my mind a minute ago to see that it was actually only a majority decision, but most people had you winning by a street, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The decision in the last round sort of like masked the full performance, and the performance wasn't like me best, but I mean, I took a he's got the excuse. What he can use, which you can't really use it if you take the fight on a week's notice. You took the fight, you thought you were ready. He was ready to box in a couple of weeks' time anyway, so you can't use that excuse. So that's one thing there. And then obviously I get moved down the card. It's not as lively and as entertaining as I want it to be. And I'm took a guy on who's unbeaten, strong, game, wants to come and he's a difficult fighter to open up. Southpaw orthodox. I took that all on a week's notice as well. So I'm fighting a totally different style. So I thought myself, listen, just box him, get the win, keep it moving. And I did that until obviously the cut happened and then everything happened off the back of that. And it's just like one of them things I couldn't see in the last round. And I wasn't, I was like, I keep telling people I wasn't hurt whatsoever. I just couldn't see a fucking thing. Now, when I was grabbing and I was trying to get my legs in a good position to be able to look at the clock and stuff. And I remember looking at the clock once and smiling and thinking, this is crazy. This last round was just like, sort of, this will blur the full. And then when they read the scorecards, I was like, that's crazy. I think I gave him max 3 rounds, max 4 rounds. But other than that, I felt as I was in first gear, Trish. But yeah. Performance was okay, but I could have let my hands go a lot more, could have been in front of him a lot more. But I decided just to box safe, and I was in first gear and I should have really upped it. But it is what it is.
By the way, just thinking of that, I've been meaning to ask people this. What's it like when you're normally up the top of the card? What's it like when you go out to those empty seats in a big fight? Do you notice that? And do you think, bloody hell, I thought there'd be more people here?
Yeah.
Or do you just focus on the ring?
No, you feel like it's like in the gym. I felt like not in the gym, but you feel like I felt like there's no atmosphere here. I feel like I'm just talking at him, and it's like it's weird, like a spa. You know what I mean? I felt like that. I really like if you think, I really love the crowd. I really love the buzz, and I love like I come alive, and everyone's like, "Bro, I need to hear," and it's like I'm like, "Right, all right, now let me switch on." Now it's time to get me head in, and I'm going now. And I sort of just put that cocky mindset on, and I just go into this flow, and I'm putting a performance on for the crowd, and just feeding off of myself and feeding off the energy. There's nothing there to really grab. It's like it's a bit like it's hard. Do you know what I mean?
But you won't get that next week in Newcastle.
Nah, in fact, it'll be a good little show.
Yeah. Nice one, Josh. Well, thank you very much for taking the
Cheers.
time. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Hope you're well, bro. Send me your best.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye bye.
Yeah, well, best.